Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I am here with Tom and Matt. Matt's here with us. Dom's on sick leave. So we called in the big guns here. Matt Steiner, the legendary painter and good friend of the channel, and myself. And Tom is here to join us on this wonderful Sunday morning to talk a little Jump Point. We've got a very exciting topic today, actually very relevant, Matt, I think, to your life. This topic today is about bringing the tabletop to life with painting. All right, so we're going to talk about, as we know, as you come to expect, many controversial topics that some may find offensive, like, is it okay to use unpainted mechs? I don't know. We'll dive into all of these things. But first, a little patron Q&A, guys. A little patron Q&A. Maybe we'll go around the horn here and give like our quick answer on this one. This one is from Housemaster Po Ding, who asks, what is it that got you hooked on Battletech? I thought that was relevant for the topic here. I will start. And I want to tell you, it's really the artwork. It's the artwork on the front of the boxes. It's all the great pictures, right? Like on the front of the old box sets, right? Like I still remember the City Tech one, the archer, like, you know, chasing down the infantry or whatever, right? And paging through the old third edition rule book, all the great black and white art, and you sort of fill in the blank space with your mind and like recreating that on the tabletop. Tom, what about you? What really got you hooked on Battletech?
You.
You're welcome.
I'm a late arriver to the Battletech scene, and it was really Aaron's a very insistent person.
Play this game.
Convincing. He's a salesman. He's a consummate salesman.
Thank you.
And got me hooked. But like, and I think too, as an adult, I always loved the video game.
Matt, what about you?
It was the video games. I mean, growing up with 40K and games, I always wanted to like Battletech. But that aesthetic just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I wanted to love these robots so much and couldn't. But then with the lore in MechWarrior 4, Vengeance, Mercenaries, It was over for me. So I'm a child of the Civil War and the Clan Invasion. So once I had Vengeance done, I knew I was, you know, ready for Battletech for life.
I love it. Yeah, we constantly talk about our shared love for MechWarrior 4. What a fantastic, fantastic game. Let's jump into our Ready Room Roundtable, shall we? So the first question, and Matt, we're going to start with you. When is it acceptable to play with unpainted minis? When is it acceptable to play with unpainted minis? What do you think, Matt?
I mean, you're asking the wrong guy that question, but my answer might shock you. Honestly, anytime.
I am shocked. Tell me more.
I know. It was not the answer I was ready to give until I thought about it as you asked. And the thing is, it's getting you playing Battletech. I mean, it's one more game than we had before. And they're already assembled. I mean, I could go to the hobby store, buy a box, sit down, and play with you right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't wait. Just, if you can start a game, get your game going.
I was always of the mind to just show up with unpainted minis. I'm not somebody that cares that much. But for the game we play, I mean, I've definitely come around to how much it adds to have a fully painted mini. I always hated 40K because of how insanely detailed. Like, it took, even for a bad paint job, it was like 5 to 7 steps, right? And I'm not.
Oh, and so many minis. I mean, a tactical squad is 10 dudes. That's one squad, right?
And they're tiny. So, but I'm on Matt's side. Like, there's a time and a place for, like, a bachelor party running out to Barnes & Noble and buying 2 box sets and playing, right? Like, you're not going to, like, guys, let's get back together tomorrow. Go home. Here's a can of spray paint. Like, yeah, just play. Great.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm on the same page. I do think, I'll give the dissenting opinion. I do think there is a point at which you are accountable for painting your minis. Okay? Playing with gray forever doesn't fly for me. I think that it's part of the hobby. It's the rite of passage. You got to get in and paint your mechs. It doesn't matter how bad they look. if they're only three colors. I think it has to be done at some point, but I do agree, especially, you know, hey, if you're a young kid, that's or the, like, you know, it's a brand new box or whatever, you want to get your favorite new mini on the table, like, that's okay. But I do think that there's a point in which it just has to be done. Let's talk about what that looks like. Let's talk about what you think what I will call a respectful painting standard would be. And by that, I mean, you know, something that looks good, but is really achievable by everyone. Tom, I'm going to start with you. Give a few thoughts, and then Matt will jump to you.
Yeah, you can get a super passable tabletop standard by having one color with a dip and paint the base black. Painting the base after you've painted the mini makes such a difference. It's pretty funny to me how much more, you don't realize it, but if you actually went through and clean up the base, it makes a big difference to me. So yeah, so you could even do like an olive colored mech, you know, as a camo, and if you do a wash on it, it looks great. You could get away with it for sure.
Yeah, Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll build off of what Tom just mentioned. I agree about the base comment. It's very simple, it goes a long way towards immersion. But as far as this kind of yardstick we're using for this base level paint job, yeah, base coat, wash, do something to your base, but I would add two things to it to bring it to everyone's level, but to that extra tier of immersion that'll make a big difference for you with a very low lift on your side for effort. And that is do your weapons like in a gray or a metallic. It's a small piece. Just choose a main weapon or two to make it contrast with the rest of the mech. And then the little extra is go on a limb and do something special, like make an arm a different color, do some splatter camo real quick with a spray or something. Just it's a little piece to make it yours.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking like speed paint the base, like, you know, like Draconis Combine. I want to get red. I want to do two coats of the blood red or slaughter red, whatever the hell it's called. Boom. Done, right? Let it dry. Do the guns in silver, do the cockpit. And if I'm not bold enough or brave enough to do the cockpit, you know, yeah, maybe we'll paint the knee pads black or the shoulder pads black or whatever, right? Just, and that's it. You're done. You know, and I think that's respectful to me. Like, that's a good effort. Like, you put that in. You tried to make them look, you know, like, presentable. And that to me brings the game to life. And this circles back to, I think, the very first, you know, question, right? The patron question and what really attracts you to the game and things like when you play the game, like you want to kind of be in it, right? Like I want to sort of be like that immersion. Tom and I, we always joke about like immersion, you're ruining my immersion, but like, it's true. It's like, you know, you want to look at the mini and you're like, man, that's really cool. Like that, you know, I can see that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So we play the games, we read the books, we want to role play as mech commanders.
I mean, that's an excellent way to put it.
I mean, we wear the cooling suits.
It's about rolling 2 6-sided dice. It's about the lore.
All right, so let's leave the viewers with something something useful. So, Matt, I'll start with you, and then Tom will ask you. So, if you're going to give a beginner one technique to learn that you think they will get a ton of mileage out of, you know, washing, dry brushing, panel highlighting, decals, whatever comes to mind, the one thing that's like, ooh, should I do this? You know, that they're like, that you really think will help take their mini to the next level. What is it?
Yeah, this will sound advanced, but honestly, it's one of those things that once you give it a try, it's like learning to ride a bicycle. It'll pay dividends to you for the rest of your life. I'm not trying to over-dramatize this, but lensing. So if you want to do a laser, do red, and then a dot of orange. Do a medium laser, which is green, and a dot of light green. PPC, blue, a dot of white or light blue. If you just play with it for a few mechs in a row, you'll have it. And there's tutorials everywhere. Yeah. So I think it's easy, but it's going to make your painting go to such a higher level so fast.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It works for cockpits too, glass and stuff. Yeah. It's basically the same
thing.
That's
why it's universal for weapons, cockpits. It's nice.
I like it.
That's a great, yeah. I mean, and it's, I don't ever like to say it because I think it's a cheat for me, but it isn't that hard and it really does look quite good. Yeah. For me, it would be loading your paintbrush. I don't know if there's a correct terminology for it, but when you're painting inset cockpits or even like the barrels, and you use a thin pointed brush and you drop the paint in and it sucks out into the corners. Like, that little technique is such an easy way to get clean fill. And it works for like deep lines around barrels and all sorts of stuff. You can use it for washing and then sucking the paint back out with a wash, you know, so you can thin it out. That technique or understanding how paintbrushes work with the medium gives you a lot more control.
My advice would be decals. Just do it. All right. It took me forever and I was petrified of doing them. They're not that hard. They're like so easy to do. They're tedious, but they really will bring, I mean, so much you don't have to do. Like if you did like that aforementioned speed paint the guns, do some, you know, jeweling or lensing on the thing, and then you threw decals on, you're going to look like it's like pro mode. Like,
oh, so, yeah, you know, great.
But there's a couple of like tips also. Actually, you know, I'm going to give one more. And actually, Matt, it was something you said. It was the first time I interviewed you before we really got to know each other. I had you on the channel. I think it was when we were doing Hyper Pulse Uplinks. And you said to me, you know, I said, well, what's your advice to the audience? And you said, paint bravely. That was your advice. So I need to get.
I stole that from somebody else inadvertently because it was at the tip of my brain. And they just keep on saying it. And I just absorbed it. And it's such great advice.
Yeah. And well, there it is. And like that stuck with me and I've told others and like it is such great advice because there are so many times where you're looking at the 80% done mini in your hand and you're like, God, this thing looks so good. Do I really want to F it up? Right? F it up. You want to F it up. You just go for it. Yeah. Just go for it. Paint the arm what you want to. Just go do the stripes. Go do the little checkers. Do whatever it is that you need to do because if you don't try, you'll never learn. And you know, it's great for new painters. You just got to get in there and elevate your game because you cannot play with unpainted mechs. I'm just kidding. Or am I? all right, let's move into our rapid fire segment, on the heels of this lightheartedness. So the rules of the game, Matt, all right, since you're new to rapid fire. Yeah. All right. It's got to be quick. Got to, what comes to mind. All right. Most of them are one or two word answers. All right.
Hand over the buzzer.
Over the buzzer. So what I want to do is I'm going to ask a question. Tom, you give your answer. Matt, you give your answer. All right. Ready?
I was going to say it's first to answer. No, I'm kidding.
You're not first or last. All right. So here we go. First question. What feels more right? Camo schemes or parade schemes on a battle mech?
Parade schemes.
Camo schemes.
I go with camo schemes. I'd like parade schemes. They look cool, but I don't understand why you would paint your mech hot pink when you're going into battle, but it is what it is.
Battle in my mind. I do regimental standards or something rational.
Right. Worst unit you ever painted, Tom?
Oh, I tried to do a Tron effect on a mech, and it was the most god-awful
thing. I remember that. It was an Atlas, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I was so bummed about it. That was the worst paint job I think I've ever done in my life. I really thought I was going to nail it too, and it was like that, you know, the Jurassic Park theme, you know, the meme where it was that. So
good.
Like,
Matt.
Behold.
Oh, I have so many examples of just complete carnage that I've done before that would just be ridiculous. But probably in particular was using solid metallic for an entire mech. It's one of those color shift metallics, and it was just sad tragedy.
I tried them before. Yeah, that never worked out.
No.
Yeah. I tried that on 40K mechs, actually, and that's where it really didn't work.
Yeah. All right, last one. What's the next faction?
Wait. What about you? Come on.
So the worst.
You're not going to win this.
So I won't cite my childhood because that would be unfair to 15-year-old Aaron. Recently, though, I think the worst, and some people liked it. I really hate the way the Altenmark militia turned out. The red and white dudes that are split down the center. They might look okay on camera, but like I for the life of me cannot paint like white and then wash it in an effective way that it doesn't look like crap. It's a project for another day, Matt, maybe for you and me.
I'll show you the way.
Show me the way. This is the way. But yeah, it's like a, they're still on the shelf and I love them, but I need to like redo half of all of them. All right. Next faction up to be painted. That's the last question. Tom.
Let Matt go first. I have to think about it.
Okay.
I already forgot what I have.
So I have a table with base coded companies for every faction. Of course I do. So I just wrapped up the Capellans. I have my core Leering units all done. So I'm now going to a block of Merrick units. I've got Free World Guard, Merrick Militia, Regulan Hussars, ooh, and Orlok Grenadiers.
I like the Regulan Hussars. So that's like that sort of like ochre colored unit, yep, right? I really like that.
Yeah, I'm going to do the sixth with the purple highlights.
Oh, very cool. That'll look good.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I don't have a specific faction that I was painting. I did want to do Steiner, but I was trying to paint something that was either yellow. Remember, Aaron?
Yes.
And I don't really.
We were talking about Robinson's Battle Academy, but you weren't into it.
Yeah, I don't even like that name. It sounds like an anime.
Losers.
Yeah.
The Canopian Cuirassiers are yellow and are awesome.
I actually know how to spell Cuirassiers, which is great. Oh, dude, they are. Oh, yeah, the first Canopian Cuirassiers.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Yes. Oh, dude, great. They're actually really good.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Could happen. And when we do the battle report time, you can wear the cat ears and the cat tail. Let's move on to our next segment, Trivia Tech. Tom, this is your favorite. You need to pay very close attention to these amazing questions that I have that I have scraped out of the depths of Sarna. All right? Are you ready for this?
I'm undefeated, so...
Well, actually, Tom, you got beat by Dom on Christmas.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Okay, go
all right. The elves from hell.
We can agree to disagree. Yeah.
All right. When in Rome. So the first question.
Go on.
The LBX, as in LBX autocannon, stands for A, large bore extended, B, light barrel extended, C, Lubalin Ballistics, or D, no one really knows.
I have to answer first? Okay, A.
Whatever.
A.
You think it's large bore extended?
I do, but I also absolutely don't. I think because it's Battletech, it's probably something completely ridiculous. You know, but...
It's true.
A.
I'm in the same boat that Tom's in. I'm going to say B.
All right, light barrel extended.
Because it weighs a ton less than standard.
So it's one of these things in the lore. The correct answer is actually D. Nobody really knows. All of A, B, and C are proposed potential things that it could mean, but there's no actual definitive answer for what LBX truly stands for. But you're right. It is lighter. It is longer range. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? All right.
Who wrote it first and is responsible for this travesty?
All right. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Zeus Burger is... Zeus Burger is... A. The governor of Arcadia in 2778, known for harboring Amaris sympathizers. B. A move patented by famous Solaris 7 mech warrior Hans Burger, which involved smashing an opponent's cockpit between his mech's modified fists. C. A fast food chain renowned for the Harpy Meal. Or D. When a Zeus pilot steps on a small vehicle, smashing it down into what resembles a hamburger. What do you think the correct answer is?
B. No question, B.
D?
B.
A B. So you think it is the Hans Burger?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Solaris 7 move.
Modified fists.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I love all those answers so much besides the first one.
They're all very good.
Three of them I made up completely.
Naturally, those are the good ones. So if I choose the one that's boring, A, I'll probably be right.
So you think it is the governor of Arcadia, known for harboring Amaris sympathizers, yeah?
Sure. Yeah.
It is a fast food chain renowned for the Harpy
Get out
Meal.
Of here.
The Harpy Meal. It's true. It's in lore, guys. It is in lore. Zeus Burger is a fast food chain. I think it's in Steiner Space too. Of course, you should know this, Matt.
I should have known as soon, because you know I love Solaris 7, and that was,
my blog's attractor. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
I always have box seats at the arena, so never go through the fast food stuff. We get catered.
It's all right. You aristocrat.
Give me my tendies. Yeah.
All right. Last trivia tech. Here we go. Okay. This one's a good one. In 3132, the jump ship Farstar was declared missing en route to the Draconis Combine with passenger Hans Halroar on board. Okay. We want to know who Hans was. Was Hans A, Federated Sun's diplomat seeking to broker a deal with potential separatists on Combine border worlds? B, the starting striker of the All-Terra soccer team? C, the captain of the Farstar? Or D, a famous chef that was actually a desk agent returning home to Combine space with critical intel?
D.
You think it was the... Okay.
I love desk agents, and this is more. I know that it's bait for me, but I'm doing it. D.
You think it was D?
You're not going to get me twice. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. I'm not going to get fooled again. So, let's do it.
Yeah, I'll say I'm weak on my 3130s. I kind of start running out.
Not judging by those guns, man.
I don't know. What do you think? Fed Sun's diplomat?
They all sound so outlandish. I love the best agent idea, D.
You both
it's
going
really
with
good.
D?
Yeah,
it is in fact the starting striker, the starting forward of the All-Terra soccer team. That's a thing, guys.
I would have that one seems so obviously
something
made
I would pick.
Yeah, would make up. Yeah, like
I was really excited to find out they were they still have soccer in the 3130s. You know,
yeah, they travel for soccer and jump ships. That's crazy.
It seems like a really excessively long trip.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say like that travel team. That's a commitment. You know.
Yeah. Although apparently, I tried to dig into it more. It wasn't the whole team that went missing. It was just him. So I don't know if he was just on it by himself. Who knows why?
Maybe he was a desk agent.
Maybe he was the best agent. Definitely.
I solved the mystery. You're welcome.
All right. Well, speaking of solving things, we are about to solve the render blender. I don't know how that works.
I can't believe how badly I did yet again on the trivia tech. Those are great.
They're so good.
Those are so good.
Yeah. The best part about it is when I get to make up the other answers, because I'm like, these are so crazy, but they're not any crazier than the actual answer.
Yeah. Like some of they're all very...
The BattleTech lore there, it's like literally. And Sarn is fantastic for cataloging all of this stuff. Like, it's unbelievable. All right, so let's check it out. We're doing the Firestarter. I thought when this one hit my desk, again, from Anthony Scroggins' Patreon, he posts these regularly. This one's been out for a very long time. I loved it compared to the old model. I loved it. So, Tom, we're going to let you blend away. Matt, feel free to chime in. I'm going to go full screen here. Let the blending begin.
Matt, you're the guest of honor. Why don't you give it a crack?
Yeah, I guess this is great to see because, like what Aaron said, the old models were so wonky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got nipple lasers and it has an outie.
Right. Well, it has a third boob from Total Recall, you know? It's great, and it has the Metroid head. It's awesome. It has a built-in six-pack holder on the shoulders, so that's pretty sweet. I imagine you could mod it to have the tubes running to the helmet, like a beer helmet. You know, it'd be pretty cool. Yeah, dude, this thing is awesome. And again, please, anybody who's not familiar do a 5-second search for the Firestarter, the original IWM, and behold the beauty. It is so much better. What are the things like flares on its shoulders? Does anybody know what they actually are?
They're fuel tanks.
Those were
for the
tanks for your flamers.
Yeah,
flamers. Okay, pretty cool. Yeah, so it's propane. So he's the grill master. Actually, they're just that's amazing. Where's the smoker? Can you tell? I can't really see it, but yeah, dude, this guy's great. Oh, there it is. Okay, it's on the back. I like how it has basic. It really is it's like the barbecue backyard master. Look, it even has like floaties for feet, so it can go swimming in the pool. This is great. I love it. There's a lot of really cool features on this mech. The head is still
things going on that are there for people to paint. I can tell. The visor is big and smooth, so it would go for easy painting. And then, if you look at the articulation of the joints, they're done so in a way for you to be able to metallic them.
Yep. And I was going to say, this is something that Scroggins, I think, after that first wave of designs, they really figured out that they have to, really define the cockpits so that they're easier to paint. There were some bad ones in the first. I mean, they're not bad, but they were hard to paint cleanly. Mm-hmm. And they've done such a better job really pulling those crevices in. I mean, deep crevices, you know what I mean? Like, you can slide a credit card through those bad boys. I take credit. And this is great. And what I was going to say is that I think I appreciate, and I would like to hear his input. If he's watching this, feel free to make a comment, Scroggins. But, the proportions remind me of the old one. The head is a little bit bigger than it needs to be, which, again, if you know the original Firestarter, the head was about 50% of the mass of the mech. So I like that they kept, and the legs are pretty skinny still in comparison to the shoulders and stuff. So yeah, it's great. It really echoes back to the original, which I think a lot of people liked for, sort of the retroness of it. And he hits all those sort of high notes. He was able to integrate the shoulder canisters, which when you think about it are ridiculous, right? Like, you would put flammable stuff in this glancing hit location. So yeah, I don't know, Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the definition. The other thing I love, first of all, I love this rendering. I love the pose. I love that the flamers are angled down as if they're ready to cook some infantry. This is not a mech killer. This thing is just ready. It almost looks like it's
clean
angled
up the battlefield.
Over. It's just cleaning house. Yeah, and very, very cool. I do love the helmet. It also has, you pointed this out in one of the other render blenders, but you can see it over here, and then you can see it here, right? There's an antenna, and there it looks like it's got the little hole that you can stick you can drill out and stick the metal antenna in, which I love.
Yeah, I appreciate
when they do that.
Those for sure.
Appreciate it. Yeah, lots of great detail. I think overall,
I do want to point the shoes. It's wearing like a pair of Kanye's, Yeezys. It's a really interesting foot.
It's for infantry squash. It's for making Zeus burgers out of vehicles.
Zeus burgers. Yeah.
We talked about this before. There were a lot of design element reuse in, that you could see throughout some of the original designs. But then there's these ones like this one, the Merlin, right? They look like completely different, right? They come from a different line of engineers, different, underpinnings, different actuators. I love that. I love the consistency, but I also love the ones that aren't consistent or the different sort of lines of evolution. I think that's really neat to see. And again, tying it all into that sort of immersion and, bringing the tabletop to life, these are the little things that, maybe the untrained eye won't see it, but when you put it on the table, you can appreciate it. Why don't we wrap this one up? So a couple of things. First and foremost, don't forget about Ares Games and Minis. If you just can't wait for the new Firestarter and you want to go get an old Ironwind Metals Firestarter, you can get one at Ares Games and Minis. You can also get all the new books, all the new dice, all the new force packs, everything over there. The terrain, there's great terrain like we were talking about, Hardware Studios and Thunderhead, some great stuff there. So you can get your hands on all that stuff over at Ares Games and Minis. So that is the first thing. The second thing, Tom, Would you like to do the honors? What is the second thing that I would say, Tom?
Like and subscribe.
Obviously, like and subscribe.
If you want to get more involved, check out our Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can become a subscriber and support the channel. We had to pay Matt a huge, huge fee.
Seven figures.
To show up tonight. Yeah. It was actually insane. And the NDA and all the, like, the M&M colors and all, it was wild. I couldn't M&M
colors. Yeah. Kroners don't grow on trees.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. But, yeah. So, yeah, Patreon's where it's at. Help us out. Be part of the community.
For the record, we paid Matt nothing. Matt, thank you for showing up on this wonderful Sunday morning.
Matt.
I should say. And we do appreciate you being here and your insights as always. We'll do another one soon, perhaps. But that's it. That's all we got. So, guys, let us know your thoughts. Leave it in the comments. Tell us what you think about painted versus unpainted. Tell us about your best tip for beginners and what you think about the Zeus Burger and if you'll be visiting one anytime soon. But that said, we're all wrapped up. Thank you so much for watching. And, of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death From Above Wargaming. Have a great day.